Well, I love public radio. It's one of my most favorite things. I listen to it all the time. And in our family, the local public radio station is the first station programmed in our radio's precepts. Back in Austin, we were proud members of our local station there, KUT, for over 20 years. Now, when I first moved to Austin, KUT was a very good public radio station, but it's become a truly excellent station over the years since. In addition to offering great programs for National Public Radio and Public Radio International, KUT has also developed remarkable original programming that is distributed both locally and nationally. Every Friday there, KUT airs a short program called Two Guys on Your Head. It's a silly name. But in this program, Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke, two distinguished psychologists and professors at the University of Texas, they sit together and explore different aspects of human behavior and the brain. In an episode earlier this year, they discussed the question of why it seems that we are so polarized in our political views these days. They cited a study that had analyzed survey data taken since 1970 on people's self-professed political identity, as well as a party affiliation. And over this 40-year span, more than 40 million people have been surveyed. And they found that people are, in fact, more politically polarized now than ever before. Now, for most of us who have been awake and living, we are pretty aware of this. It's not too surprising. But they also found that those who describe themselves as conservative now describe themselves as very conservative, and those who describe themselves as liberal now describe themselves as very liberal. And this political identity is now very strongly associated with a single political party. So if you are conservative, you are Republican. If you are liberal, then you are a Democrat, full stop. Gone are the more nuanced identifications of conservative Democrats or progressive Republicans. The moderate middle ground has disappeared. The two radio hosts discussed how all this seems to be related with our propensity for group identification. Historically, when we shared common national goals, and especially a common threat, there's been a coming together based on an understanding of who we are as citizens of a country, as Americans. But if we primarily see ourselves not so much as Americans, but as liberal Americans or conservative Americans or whatever it may be, all the factors associated with in-groups and out-groups now come into play. So now our political opponent is no longer another American, albeit one with a different point of view, but now is a part of some other entirely different group. The doctors Markman and Duke say there are real life consequences to all of this. If we are friends with someone who has different political views, we may think that person's views might be a little nuts, but that person is still our friend. But with political opponents, someone is of a different political group, now that person is just one of those crazies of the other political party. They are the other and are somehow essentially different from us. Seems it is our human nature that when someone professes a belief or opinion that differs from ours, we have a tendency to distance ourselves from that person because emotion is now involved. And since that emotion is potentially negative, we avoid the whole situation. So the question is, what do you do when someone expresses an opinion you disagree with? And how do you keep the conversation going? The host of this show said that this is a skill, not just a value or an idea, but a skill that needs to be practiced. And the best way to do this, they said, is, quote, to not treat people you disagree with as the other. To not treat people you disagree with as the other. That, my friends, is a theological statement. The issues that they brought forward and they discussed is not merely a civic problem of increasing political polarization, it is also a deep and fundamental theological issue. What they suggest is an existential and theological solution. To use churchy language, we would say that the solution is reconciliation, a coming together that ends our estrangement from each other and God. The church teaches that we are called to be reconciled with God and each other. And as members of the body of Christ, we are also called to be agents of this reconciliation. This is our most important work. In our gospel lesson last week, Jesus distilled the entirety of the holy law to these two simple and yet endlessly challenging sentences. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is this foundation upon which all else is built. The love of which Jesus speaks isn't an emotion. It's not a warm feeling we might or might not have. This love is the hard work of reconciliation, of bridge building, of relationship. This love is the courageous work of reconciling ourselves to each other and to God. And through that work, all of creation is saved and transformed. In the catechism found in our prayer book, one of the core responsibilities of the baptized is to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world. As members of the body of Christ, it is our responsibility to continue his work. As we more fully remember Christ's body, we become ever more efficacious agents of transformation. But it seems that we often get in our own way. As a psychologist in the radio program suggests, the ultimate question might be, how do we identify ourselves? This question matters. It's very important. Cistercian monk Father Thomas Keating teaches that our transformation in Christ is dependent upon our letting go of our over-identification with our groups and family, that they become obstacles to reconciliation by allowing us to objectify and distance those not in our group and avoid the hard work of relationship. Keating teaches that we need to dismantle our over-identification with our groups and teams because love is our true self. All relationships with others, including God, need to be grounded in this identity of love. And from this foundation, we may join with the saints in the building of the kingdom. Thanks be to God. Today we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, in which we rejoice in our membership in the communion of saints, that spiritual union of the members of the body of Christ. Doctrine states that we are all part of this mystical body and are joined in love and prayer with all the saints, past, present, and future. This is our true identity, that of relationship and communion, not of division and separateness. We are united as one body, one family, through the waters of baptism. And this is who we are before any other group identification. We are all the beloved creatures of God. And God makes his sun to rise on all of us, the righteous and the unrighteous, those we identify as part of our group and those we do not. Simply put, I believe that these distinctions that we make between ourselves are not made in God's eyes, only in our own. God sees all of creation with the very same eyes of love that gazed upon his creation at the beginning and judged it very good. These same eyes of love now also gaze gaze upon and know each one of us and judge us worthy of love and grace. And as God's beloved, we are called into full communion with God and each other. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus teaches his disciples with these words: "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Jesus teaches the disciples that those who act in this way are blessed, not because that is how they and we are to act, but rather it is who they and we are called to be. Members of Christ's body, reconciling all the world. In order to be these agents of reconciliation, we must strengthen the bonds of communion and love between each other, rather than put up false walls of difference that separate and estrange us. For there really is no such thing as the other, as separate from us, because within the bonds of God's love, such divisions cannot exist. When we engage in the difficult work of love and transformation, we find that our fundamental communion puts to lie the felt experiences of division. When we are merciful, pure in heart, and reconciling makers of peace, we are blessed, because through these actions, we reveal the truth of our deep union that lies beneath our seeming divisions. When we see ourselves, each other, and the world around us through Christ's eyes, the holy eyes of unifying love rather than the discriminating eyes of group identification, we take up the mantle of our high calling and holy hope and join with Christ in his salvific work of reconciling all of creation to God. Amen.